News Talk 1340 KROC AM. This is Rochester Today. I'm Tracy McCray along with Andy Brownell. Rochester Mayor Ardell Brady is here too. Good morning.
Good morning. It's good to be here.
Oh, it's a beautiful day.
First Monday of the month, and I come walking in the building.
Wednesday. It used to be Monday.
Yeah. First Wednesday, and the sirens were going off, and it's not announcing my arrival. It was the...
Here they go.
There they
are. Holy smokes, that was a painful one.
Choice.
That one hurt. That one hurt my ears. But as you were saying, the sirens were being tested, so we have to test our emergency alert.
I understand.
Got my attention.
Yeah. I had to turn my headphones down. Ow. Well, it's good to see you.
Likewise.
What's going on? I know in January you usually
head out
to the Conference of Mayors.
I have several pages of things that we should talk about.
We don't have enough time for five pages of notes.
I know it.
But what's at the top?
I heard you, as I'm driving in, you said, I know he usually goes to Washington, D.C. in January, so maybe we'll talk about that.
And I know that you did.
So we did. That is always a special visit. And especially the last 6 years, we've always been invited over to the White House.
Oh.
So, and the president comes there to talk with us.
Mm-hmm.
And so I have the appropriate folder.
Your official White House folder.
And
you should get that laminated, you know.
I probably should. Huh?
It's just an old paper folder.
So this time we went over there at noon, got there at noon, and then we had some meetings next door to the White House in the Eisenhower building. And the one I went to session, and they had staff people there, was on veterans homelessness and what we're doing about that. I co-chair, and actually chair, the Veterans Affairs Task Force, and this for the U.S. Conference of Mayors. And the meeting we had folks that were talking about how they've really addressed the issue of veterans not getting medical care, that long gap that was taking place, different cities that are working on, you know, really trying to reduce and eliminate homelessness for the vets and other things on that. So it was probably one of the most productive ones, just hearing from Washington. And from the last time I chaired that meeting was last summer, and that's when there was still so much.
It was all blowing up.
Yeah. So what has happened and how they've really addressed that and have people that are really working on that, especially that whole business on health care and not being able to get it and so on.
How about the mental health piece of it?
Well, that's always still kind of an issue, is how do we deal with that? And, of course, anything you do, whether it's local, state, federal, it's money, you know, and staffing and all that sort of stuff, staffing, money. So, but it's, that was part. And we had, and it was, they made some noise about, not noise, it was the fact that there are three for sure secretaries of departments that are former mayors. And the fact that as mayors, you know the relationship between local and feds, it's not always the best, but here these got, and those are Anthony Fox, who's the Secretary of Transportation, what's his name from Iowa, that's the Secretary of Agriculture, Vilsack.
Yeah, Vilsack.
He was a mayor, he was also the governor, and Juan Castro, who was from San Antonio, he's the Secretary of HUD, and now the person that's the staff person for intergovernmental relations used to be David Agnew, who I got to know really well with Obama, and now it's Jerry Abramson, who was mayor of Louisville for 20 years, and he was lieutenant governor down there, and he's now that staff person.
It's interesting, actually, you're making me think that lots of times people will say a great presidential candidate is someone who has gubernatorial experience. I hadn't really thought about the role that a mayor's experience, because it is similar to governor, but that you do have that bridge, you know, because people who are out of Washington, D.C. are just the federal people.
Yep.
So having that bridge from state to federal or from city to state, that is an interesting job qualification.
So they were making very positive comments about that we have people there now that know.
Understand.
Walked in our shoes, so they know that. Somebody even pointed out, said, well, Vice President Biden used to be a county commissioner.
But who was a PTA president? This I ask you.
I was also.
That's excellent. All right. What else did you have on your list?
Well, just on that, too, is the good at that meeting over at the White House, the governor is or the president is there. He usually has about 10 or 15 minutes where he just talks to us, and then it's opened up for questions for another half an hour or so. Kevin Johnson, who is the mayor of Sacramento, former NBA Phoenix Suns, he's the president of the Conference of Mayors. He had fun with introducing the president, and he said, I've had a lot of great experience in my life trying to guard Michael Jordan and now being mayor. But he says, I've never been able to do the, you know, obviously be able to introduce the president. So he has on his cell phone the Rocky music he starts with. And, of course, the president's off in the side room.
Just waiting.
And he's playing that on. And as that people start applauding, and he's going, like, pointing to the room. And then he goes into this, standing 6 foot one, 185 pounds, point guard on Pennsylvania Avenue. And then it's the NBA kind of a Barack Obama.
Yeah, yeah, that's
and so
funny.
Later, the executive director of the Conference of Mayors, at an evening when I saw him back at the hotel, he said, that's the most relaxed I've ever seen the president. He said, I think it was just that kind of...
It's all in introductions.
It's all in introductions. So, but anyway, so yeah, we've... So a lot of things. Back in January, I chaired the Regent Candidate Advisory Committee.
Yes.
Actually started that back in December. We had 34 applicants, and we boiled it down to 19 to interview for 10 for five openings. By state law, we have to send at least two to the legislature, no more than or up to four. And this year, we had representation from the legislature. We had two senators.
Oh, that's right. They mixed it up this time, didn't
they? They did, and two representatives. I was opposed to that at first, but when all was said and done, it worked out well. The two representatives both had too much conflict. They couldn't even get to any of the meetings. One was...
Is that why it worked out well?
Jeez.
That probably helped. We had Pulowski would have been one from Winona, and the other was Bud Nornes, who was from Fergus Falls. The two senators were Terry Bonhoeff, and who's from the, up in the Twin Cities. She's the one that really pushed it. And the other was Senator Pratt, and I think he's in the metro area somewhere too. They participated fully in my first meeting when we had together. I said, I know we have you here, but here you are volunteers just like the rest of us. And so you have to behave in that fashion too. And they did. Those two participated. And when all is said and done, I think it will help the process because they are heads of various the education committees. So it went well. So we ended up, and they're the ones that said, don't send us four. Don't send us three. If you've got two, send us two. We don't need any courtesy interviews because what could happen is that courtesy one is the one that would get elected.
Oh.
And you want to have the ones, because we can't rank them when we send them there. Mm-hmm. So you can't say, well, this
so it's
one
two
got...
two per seat.
Two per seat.
Okay.
And so... So anyway, that's in the process now. Last week they had the Alumni Association had a forum for all 10 were there. And now I think next week there's another where the higher education committees on both House and Senate. And then it ultimately goes to the full body, all of the House and the Senate. And as we say, it's, you know, then you know, politics can take over. So we're not sure just how that'll all work out, but it's... It's tiring. I mean, the interviews alone was 3.5 days of those because they're like a 45-minute, and you have a break in between each one to kind of, well, what? How did it go?
Wow.
And so you have 6 on Monday, 7 on Tuesday, 6 on Wednesday, and then a good 5 hours on Thursday. You do your scoring.
Deliberating.
You start in and how many and who gets in and so on and so forth. So,
it's kind of like American Idol.
Kind of. Without choreography.
Yeah, right.
What's the most important thing that the regents help with?
Well, obviously in this world today, now budgets is a big thing. I had a question that because I'm on the Minnesota State Arts Board, so it was always the question. There's a trend that the arts, liberal arts, are getting... kind of diminished. You know, it's everything about science and math and all that, which is all important. But that broader background, and so one of the questions I asked every one of them, okay, well, there's a trend. What's your thoughts on liberal arts? Well, most of them had a pretty strong background in liberal arts and understand how that helped their whole, you know, not just a science or whatever they're focused on. So that was positive. But it is how well do they understand what the university is all about and its role as a, you know, as the research institution, too, of the state of Minnesota. Part of the issue, too, is I think they said whatever their budget is, 40% of it has to do with health and medicine, all of that. So people that maybe understand that a little better, that they understand that they're representing really the whole state, even though they're for a particular district, you know, represent. The biggest job they have probably is also hiring the president of the university.
Sure.
That's a biggie. That's
It's 10:22.
Taylor's not going anywhere anytime soon.
No.
It's like, wow, you laid that out there.
Yep, it's 10:22 at KROC. We need to take a quick break. He does really have 5 pages of notes, so we'll continue along with that in just a moment. KROC AM. This is Rochester Today on KROC. Tracy McRae, Andy Brownell, and Rochester Mayor Ardell Brady is here with a long list of items to talk about. So it's just kind of
take a pick.
Yeah, what else do you want to talk about? We have 5 minutes before the news break.
Well, real quick on this one, I think you probably heard about it. The government center is going in to, for some remodeling and additions. The city hall has got some roof maintenance that has to be done and some other things. So, but the county side has got the expansion, and it's the weapon screening that's going to be a part of all that, a 12 to 14-month project. The fences are up around the front of the building.
What a mess.
Yeah, it is.
It seems like they just built that thing. That has happened since I have lived in this town. Yeah. So to me, they just built that thing.
I think that was 1993.
That they did the government center?
I believe the county side of it, yeah.
Well, let's go back. This is my 13th year as mayor, and Mayor Canfield was 7 years as mayor. He was the first mayor that moved in there.
Yeah, I moved here in 92 when it was all finishing up.
Yeah.
That's about right.
So what are we saying?
So they opened in 93.
20 years.
93. Oh, I thought you said 80-something.
Oh, no.
Okay.
92, I know they were still in the other courthouse in 92.
Sure.
Right, that's where I went for my first driver's license.
Mike's 13 now and 7 for Canfield.
Wow.
We're all math whizzes here.
Yeah.
I just thought you said 80-something, and I was going to go,
you and Suchere.
Yeah, right. That's right.
I just set out a date. That's all I said.
But, yeah, Mayor Canfield let Mayor Hazama come and sit at the desk in the building on the first day so that because it all transpired from there. So, yeah, it's been there a while. What's interesting, you know, now is all the work that's done and the cost of now screening, that's all going to be up on second floor. But how do you get in? So you and but with recent incidents that have happened at a council meeting.
Irony is, though, all this extra security would not address that kind of situation.
Not at all.
No.
Not at all. So that is kind of, the irony of it. So anyway, that's going on. On the League of Minnesota Cities, not that it really impacts the community in one way, but the executive director of that, Jim Miller, who's been the executive director for 22 years, is retiring in July. I'm on a search committee for that to get him replaced is not the right word, but fill that role. But he's been an outstanding executive director of that. The League of Minnesota Cities is recognized nationally as probably one of the best, if not the best, in the country. And as I look at you, Tracy, I think of when we go to the National League of Cities. We're out
right
there, and unfortunately, we haven't been able to go over to the Builders Museum the last few years.
That's right. But my friend still works there.
Does he still work there?
Yes, he does.
And totally out of the blue, he looks at me. Do you know? He's working behind the counter there, the sales in that place.
That was so funny.
And said, do you
know? Yeah, he gave me some street cred with you. You're like, Tracy, somebody out here asked me about you. That was great. Great fun.
So, again, locally here, we had 10 openings on our various boards and commissions, and we had 25, I did 25 interviews with those that are about 30 minutes apiece to fill those 10 openings. And, of course, one that's still out there that we haven't done yet is to get the ordinance done for the Police Oversight Commission. And there are some things that, and, you know, the police chief and the community have worked on that for a year, and they came forward, and it kind of got picked apart big time, not only by me, but the rest of the council, because I said every other commission, you say that the mayor, you know, either, they don't even say recommend, appoints, but technically a city charter says with the consent of the council, and we didn't have that in there, so I said that's got to, I think, be in there. The other, it was that the commission itself, once it was formed, was kind of going to be the group that would advocate and recommend new members, and we don't do that with any other board or commission. They could recommend people, and this board or this commission will have, it's a 7-member, will have one person that will be recommended by the NAACP, the Rochester branch, and another one by the Olmsted County Human Rights Commission, and then 5 people that are kind of based on their interest and involvement in social justice and human rights. So we said, when you're replacing them after their term runs out, why do we change that whole function? And so that got boiled down quite a bit the other day, and Terry Atkins is working on a draft of that one. So that'll be, I think that's going to be very helpful and positive. Shortly after the shootings in Ferguson and in New York, the U.S. Conference of Mayors had a conference call, and we talked about what our place is doing. It was interesting that we're already talking about this, but one, I think it was Cleveland, talked about they have kind of this kind of a commission. And everybody kind of, in cities like Philadelphia, there were others that are big cities that said, that really sounds like a good idea. And I thought, well, we're there. We're going to get there. We're going to get that one. So that was positive, and I think it'll go well. Obviously, there's anxiety that who's going to get appointed to that and so on and so forth. But that'll the first pass of that will rest kind of with me to how do we make sure that we're represented by those folks.
What kind of oversight would this commission have? I mean, how much authority would they be given?
The main thing they can't do is to do discipline on an officer or in the department, and that in some places, or even some of the folks that were advocating that they should be able to do that. The police department will take care of if there's that. But if there's an incident that maybe the commission says, something didn't seem to go right on that, or whatever that might mean, they can then go to the police chief and say, we think there was something, you know, that should have changed in that, or can we, you know, investigate it a bit. The first step is really the chief will say, you're right, we could have done something different. If he would disagree, then they come to the mayor, and the mayor then will be sort of, in a sense, I don't know if I'd be the arbitrator, but it's kind of the, well, let's take another look at this. I would talk to the chief, and then it ultimately could end up at the city council where they would determine, but not about discipline, whether somebody should be terminated or something like that. So that's
so the policy and moving forward.
Yes.
It's 10:32 at KROC. We need to take a break for news, and then we'll return. Our guest is Rochester Mayor Ardell Brady. Andy Brownell has local and national news next. KROC AM. News Talk 1340, KROC AM. It's 10:38. This is Rochester Today. Our guest, Rochester Mayor Ardell Brady. Let's talk about the airport.
All right.
We've got a new man in charge out at the airport.
New man will be coming, John Reed, coming from, as I look at the key ring there, from Green Bay.
Yeah, what's the deal with the airport managers in Green Bay, Wisconsin?
Oh, they're finally seeing the light and know where to come.
Oh, come on.
The last one was from Appleton.
Yeah.
Did you take part in the interview/interrogation?
I did.
Did you insist that he become a Viking fan or at least a Gopher fan?
Well,
impossible.
Yes, he recognized that. Somebody had already told him that.
Okay. Absolutely that, impossible.
But he didn't know how that's, you know, he's from Missouri originally.
Oh, okay.
So, but
he has no allegiance.
So he's been in aviation 23 years. He'll start February 16th, and maybe the next time I'm here, I should bring him along or so and get a chance. There were a couple things that I just really found interesting. It is about Green Bay, but that was the Friday before the playoff game when I was interviewing him, and he He wasn't doing this, but he had to. I got to get back tonight, he says, and because on the playoff game, we will have over 200 jets, private jets, in for the game.
Mm-hmm.
And I just like, what? And then I said, what's a regular season game? 80 to 100. And he says, the NFL is our Mayo Clinic.
Sure.
For an economic impact. Almost because $10 million a game.
The city's about the same size, basically.
Yeah,
they're
actually
really
a little smaller.
If you popped an NFL team in Rochester, that's what it would be like. And so when I ever explain why Packers fans are so ridiculous, it's because imagine what that would be like here. You know, when you get people that are just true blue IBMers or Mayo Clinic, other people will kind of roll their eyes at them and be like, oh, for heaven's sake. Oh, my gosh. Take that with the NFL hype on top of it, and it helps to kind of explain the weirdness of it all.
So did he have any insight into who were in all these? I mean, obviously for the playoff game, I get that. But, you know, when you're seeing 80 of them on a regular season game.
Yeah, there's, you know, like what's the plumbing and is that Kohler? Kaler? Kohler.
So
corporate all kinds of corporate that he said some of them, you know, they'll come from all over.
Right.
I mean, there's obviously they're flying, so they're from all over that either for whatever reason have been Green Bay fans for their life. Some of them, he says, will come and they own the suites. You know, most of them have got the suites.
Mm-hmm.
So he said, but they may have customers that they want to impress, so then they'll let the customer have the suite.
Oh,
and
sure.
And then they got to go down with the,
masses.
I just want to get on the list.
Well, if you're a football fan, you should just go for a game. It doesn't matter if your team is playing or not, because it is a little wacky.
I'm sure it is.
It is a little wacky.
When he made that comparison, he said, that's our, you know.
That's our Mayo Clinic.
Our
that's
Mayo
it.
Clinic.
Except for they do it on the weekends, we do it during the week.
Yeah.
And there's no tailgating involved in Rochester.
And then, actually, right after that, a couple days later, I was talking to Marty Lenz, because he's from Appleton, and he says, yeah, we in Appleton, and I don't know what that is, 40 miles apart?
It's pretty close.
It's basically the same town.
He says, we always would get a bump because the visiting team stayed in Appleton.
Stays in Appleton.
And they'd be there yet Sunday night, and he said they'd all leave on Monday. So he said it worked both ways there a bit. But it's
and
just
the
like,
drive. The drive from Appleton to Green Bay, and basically there's been enough spread now that it seems like it's the same town, but there is a line that the buses always take them, that Packers fans always go line up out in the boonies, what used to be the boondocks, but to razz the players as they drove by.
So anyway, I think John Reed will be the person, and he was interviewed by a number of people, and he will he's very animated. His wife is a teacher. And he has a daughter, I believe that she's a senior, and so they're looking for colleges and things like that. And so he'll move, and I didn't get into the detail with it, but you know, most likely, obviously, it'll be that she'll stay there. His wife finished the school year with the daughter, and actually that kind of happened with Marty Lenz, too.
What's the challenge out at the airport?
Well, Steve Lechvy was wonderful out there. But the world really has changed, the aviation world. You can't just say, well, here's you've got to be out there marketing. You've got to be doing all of that stuff to try and make sure. And Marty had done some pretty innovative things already, obviously getting Atlanta and Detroit back.
He got the new website running, too.
Got that. And some other things that are in the works, one of them being the potential for having I forget what the term they use, but a bus that you would get on at the airport here to get you to the cities. It's locked, your luggage, you go through TSA out here. You get up. There's one place in the United States, I think it's in New Jersey, that does it. Others maybe in Europe do that. But we're working through the TSA, we're working with Delta and others. So the bus would go to link up with certain flights up in the cities. But you would get on, and some they've used the word, it's a sterile drive because you're not stopping any place. It's not to get off.
Right.
The luggage is locked up underneath. You get there. It's let off in some place, whether it's out on the tarmac or whatever. But you don't go through TSA up there.
Interesting.
And so it's not just a bus. It's got to be, we've talked a little bit about it. It's got to be one where you've got the Wi-Fi, you got everything, and you got maybe you may have a host on the bus, too, that does that. So Anyway, so that's one of the things that he was working on quite heavily. And when I talked to John, I said, you know, Marty had started some things, and we certainly don't want to lose traction on that. The other thing that we continue to work on is to get a flight west. Mm-hmm. And the possible location there would be a flight to Denver. So whichever there is, I forget which airline it is, that's their home
Frontier
base.
Frontier or?
I think it's Frontier. So because then the potential for where you go from there.
Sure.
And certainly so far the numbers for Atlanta and Detroit are high. When I came back from Washington, D.C., my flight came through Detroit, and I always liked that. There's two big terminals, and you go underneath the runway mm-hmm. from one to the other with all the crazy music that's going on. But it's the flight was full from there to here.
Oh, they're all mm-hmm. full, aren't they now? Boy, oh, boy.
So anyway, we'll continue to work. But it is that you really have to be paying attention to what the industry is doing. And it's all about numbers, it's 'cause we've got those two flights. And fortunately right now, and hopefully it'll continue, the positive of that is if they continue, other airlines will look at that and say, there's potential for us and maybe that Frontier or something like that. So,
and getting the word out about the parking situation, too, and just the cost of going back and forth
to
cities. If you start adding that into the cost, all of a sudden that airfare becomes a lot more reasonable.
And of course, we continue to work here to try and obviously encourage people to fly out of Rochester. I know there's all the ads on that, you get all the other flights.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact is there are some flights, depending on when, you never know, that are cheaper from here than out of there.
That's right. And that's what we love. More of that.
And we need more of that. And so, we're looking at policy guidelines for businesses to say, including the city. We just reviewed that one that says, if your connection is less than 3 hours up in the cities, you ought to be thinking about maybe if it's less than that, you probably have to do that. And also the dollar amount. If it's, a couple hundred dollars difference, maybe you ought to consider, and we're not mandating it, but probably should have a pretty good reason why you can't fly out of here then. So those are things to really work on all of that.
Right.
It's an asset for the community. It's obviously an asset for Mayo Clinic.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that whole thing. So that's a big deal.
It's 10:47 at KROC. I'm daydreaming now about flying away to someplace warm and sunny. Wait, we got our sunshine here. We'll take a look at that forecast when we return. KROC AM. For Mystic Lake Casino, don't miss Mystic Lake's free Love Me Tender Valentine's Day weekend party. It's February 13th and 14th with live entertainment, dinner specials, and more. Get all the details at mysticlake.com. Today, partly cloudy, partly sunny, depending on your attitude, and 16 degrees. Tonight, clear and 8 below. Tomorrow, partly cloudy and 15. Friday, overcast, 30. A chance of some snow on Saturday and Sunday with highs in the mid to upper 20s. And on Monday, cloudy and 26. It's 14 degrees now at KROC AM. This is Rochester Today with Tracy McRae, Andy Brownell, and the mayor, who is now a card-carrying, able to marry people if you ask him and you have the right paperwork.
Paperwork, yeah.
Yes, you
Five
can do
days
it.
5 days in advance, get it from the county, all of that good stuff.
Pay your fee.
I just want to know if you made a deal up that you would be happy to marry someone on the beach at Foster Aaron as long as you did not have to plunge. Because I know you've always gone with the pay, not plunge.
No, I pledge, not
yeah,
plunge.
Yeah, pledge, not plunge. That's right.
And that still stands.
That still stands. Very good. Yeah, don't get swept up in all the romanticism of it and decide you're going to jump in.
But you probably have to be close enough to get wet because they're going to splash up on
it
you.
It could
a little
be.
Bit.
Yeah.
So, yes, if
or do it with a megaphone.
Yeah.
If the spirit moves you and you would like to take the plunge on Valentine's Day at the Polar Plunge or renew your vows, you have to have all of your licensing still taken care of. This is for real.
This is for real.
This is what Andy didn't, he didn't believe it, but it is for real. That's why you have to have your license.
And then you get that and you come back, I guess, to the county and it gets recorded mm-hmm. at the county level at least.
Whatever works for you. Hey. You got to sign the little sheet of paper, though.
Oh, yes, and they have to have the two witnesses and all that good stuff. So
awesome. Oh, I hope Rich and I get to be witnesses. That would be fun.
Yeah, you would. Yeah, you guys would be there. You could do that, too. So, yeah, I got the little booklet and online, that whole thing. In the booklet, I could do baptisms, too,
oh
which
gosh.
I thought, what?
But I like that you got a business card for your for your billfold
now.
Got a
very nice certificate, too.
That's great.
And that, and then even there's all the different things you could order, you know. And I said, no. Clerical collar, no, don't do that.
When this whole mayor thing is over for you, this could be your deal, retirement job.
I
you could
say,
be.
You know, when I first came here from Austin, I was going to work 2 years, and I was going back to college to become a minister.
Oh, my gosh.
A Lutheran minister. And so here
Finger
we are.
Finger of God, Ardell. Follow it. It's following you around. Believe it.
Well, we'll see how these weddings do, and then we'll make a judgment on
that's
that.
Right.
Jeff Peters, when I first got elected with Post Bulletin, he said, well, I guess your ministry is taking a different course. So, yeah, here we are.
That's right.
Yeah.
What else do you have on your list? Your final item.
You're going to hear more, I'm sure, from the Chamber on the Chamber Annual Day at the Capitol. That's coming up March 3rd. With all this other stuff that I do enjoy doing, and it takes time. One that was kind of something I'd never done before, I became a judge for the Miss Rochester, Miss Olmsted County, Miss Teen Rochester. And somebody over here was also a judge.
Excellent.
And so we have a Miss Rochester, Madeline.
Maddie Van Aert.
Oh, it's Maddie, huh?
Yep, Maddie did it.
This is her
second time she's been in a pageant, too.
Yeah. Forget what her platform was fine arts for the kids.
Yeah, she started that when she was in high school and ended up, she lobbied for a letter.
She got a letter.
And she was the first one who lettered in volunteering, basically,
and
in high school.
It's something that you have to do. The hours have to be 50% in the community and 50% in the school.
Right.
The other interesting thing, and how they ever caught on to that, Dale Earnhardt Foundation, she got recognition for that.
From them?
From that.
Wow.
So she has in her platform, I think it said, or her resume, it said that
well,
too. That
all
she
you
had
have
that.
To do is go to any of the different, you know, organizations that honor students, give out scholarships, you know, to see, to hear the stories of some of these students who, you know, they're great athletes, they're great with all these different things, but there are some that do fantastic volunteer projects while they're in high school. And so I thought it was kind of cool that she got that could be something you let her in.
When you, you know, and there's, you know, certain images, I guess. But when you look at it, hers is Fine Arts for the Kids, her platform. Platform for another one who's a student from Mayo High School, too, Teen Depression Awareness. Mm. Another one, Raising Awareness of Climate Change. And then the fourth one, Aiding the Youth of Separated Families. Mm. That's their platforms. And you just, I mean, it's pretty impressive.
I
absolutely love the Courtney Schurhammer is her name. She did not win it, but her talent was called Promedy. It was a whole little thing that she was so good on what it is waiting to go to the prom and who you're going to date and this person and that. And she was animated.
She did stand-up?
Stand-up comedy.
That's awesome.
And at the end, she said, I probably will end up going with my cousin. It was hilarious.
Well, good for her. That's gutsy stuff to do.
Oh, my gosh. No kidding.
That's great. So that was pretty special. I'm hoping, actually, there's the Builders Show this weekend, and I asked the organizer of this. I said, can you get a hold of Maddie? And I said, I'm supposed to always cut the ribbon, but I said, we got to give more exposure to the person that's the Miss Rochester.
That's a good idea.
And I said, have her come.
She's at the U of M.
She's at the U of N. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if she's going to be able to, but hopefully she'll be able to be there with her tiara and all that good stuff. And I said, we can make use of her in different things. That's not the right way to say that, but it's it is impressive what they have to do and do to do that. And
it's come a long way since beauty pageants.
That's the stepping stone then to Miss Minnesota, and then Miss Minnesota, of course, if they win that, they go to Miss America, too. But it is, their platforms are a little bit more substantive than maybe what they were way back.
That's excellent.
So we're still working on getting the group that's working on the fireworks to try and get that all funded. That's another thing I've spent some time with as well.
And we don't want to wait until June to start talking about this.
There's a group in town that are kind of the young Turks that are really, they're working kind of, one of them I think does work for the Rochester Area Foundation. Last year they got started way too late and it became a much bigger thing than they, I think, ever envisioned.
Right.
Or their optimism got away with them, you know, that they thought they were going to raise this $30,000 or whatever like that.
They need to have an event during Winterfest.
They should have, yeah.
Because then that can help them get the word out about the fireworks, get some money started getting raised for the fireworks, and it bumps up Winterfest.
But once again, too late.
Well, I know. No, but next
are.
Year.
No, they are, yeah.
Yeah, that's
but
great.
But they've got some ideas, car shows and T-shirts and all that stuff. But that it's a $30,000-$35,000 deal, so they've got to get going.
You got to find that person to write the big check is what you got to
Well,
do.
That's it. And we had some discussion on that. We continue to work on the Highway 14 partnership, that piece between Dodge Center and Owatonna that we get four lanes. I'm on that particular committee as well.
Okay, so if the governor gets his way and we get the $6 billion over 10 years, is that part of it?
It's parsed out. There's a piece that's where you cross the railroad tracks as you're getting towards Owatonna.
Well, yeah, I know they're doing that.
And that one should be done this summer. Some of it will get overlay. But the last meeting we had, which was in Owatonna, I was there, and some of us just, come on, can't we get some of that prioritized, that money, put it there?
Because we're down to, what, 18 miles or something like that.
Yeah, get it done. You know,
18 miles.
At $1 million or more a mile. It's more than that if you're doing four lane. You're talking, I think, $200 million.
Mm-hmm. I think they've got most of the right-of-way done now, which that takes time, too, to get all that done. But, yeah, we have that piece of the road, too, that has sticks down the middle of it so you don't pass.
Yeah. I hate that road.
Well, back when we started this, I think it's more than a rumor. We heard that Gold Cross, this is terrible to say, that said if there's an accident, in a sense, we hope it's bad enough so the helicopter's got to come, that we don't have to drive it.
Mm. Oh, that is,
sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is bad.
And, of course, anybody that's commuting here, they're driving into the sun both ways.
Well, yeah. Yeah, they are.
That's another thing.
It's not irony, but that road was bad 30 years ago.
Yeah.
Now the traffic's increased on it,
yeah.
And I know they've widened it over time and they've made it a little bit better, but it's still a horrible road to drive.
Yes, it is.
Thank goodness it's not all the way to Mankato the way it used to be.
So I think I've pretty much run out of things.
Well,
for
we
this
can
day.
Just say that you mentioned the Rochester on Tour at the Capitol. It's going to be a definitely different
absolutely
this year,
yes,
because of all of the hubbub at the Capitol.
Mm-hmm.
So we're not even actually going to go to the Capitol
because
there's
all
no place
over
for us to go.
It's all at the Crown Plaza,
yep.
Everything. There could be some separate meetings that could be over at the state office building that people will arrange for themselves to do. But otherwise, we
hope Rotunda's gone, right? They took it apart. I mean,
yeah.
The meeting area.
Yeah, so, you know, it might have to be you meet in one of the senator's offices or something, you know, two or three or whatever. Or hopefully they'll come over. Because there will be places at
right.
the Crown Plaza for kind of breakout, if you will.
It's been good to see you.
Good to see you.
We'll look forward to it again, and maybe you'll have an airport guy with you next time.
Maybe.
Very
we have
good.
To settle on
this
with
is News Talk 1340 KROC.